my only plea. Understand correctly, the kids are off until the end of March now, right? That's a long way down the road. So, plenty of windows to be washed, gutters to be cleaned out. You can't just lay it home. Grass to be picked out of the garden. That should be some parents happy. I'm on your side. Genesis 25. Pray for the kids. Idolize the devil's workshop. Stay busy. Stay busy. Verse 12, and we're going to read down to verse 34, and then we'll spend a little time here looking mainly at verses 19 through 34. Verses 12 through 18 is the genealogy of Ishmael. Now these are the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar, the Egyptian, Sarah's handmaid, bare unto Abraham. And these are the names of the sons of Ishmael, by their names according to their generations. The firstborn of Ishmael, Nebajoth, Kedar, Abiel, Adbeel, and Memsan. And Mishim, and Duma, and Masia, Hadar, Kima, and Jatur, Nephish, and Kedema. These are the sons of Ishmael. And these are their names, by their towns, by their castles, 12 princes according to their nations. And these are the years of life of Ishmael, 137 years. He gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people. And they dwelt from Havilah unto Shur, that is, before Egypt, as thou goest toward Assyria. And he died in the presence of all his brethren. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian, of Padan-Aram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord his wife, because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived, and the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? She went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, the two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out of his hand, took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter and a man of the field. And Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sought pottage. Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with the same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, rose up, and went his way. And thus Esau despised his birthright. If you notice there in the first six verses we read about Ishmael, you remember when Hagar was out in the desert when she fled from Sarai during the time of chastisement, that the Lord came to her, ministered to her, and said, don't worry about what's going to happen. Your son, speaking of Ishmael, shall be a man of multitudes as well. And now you have the end of his life. And Ishmael has how many sons mentioned here? 12. How many in the nation of Israel? 12. God kept his promise, didn't he? God kept his promise, and it came to a point in time where Ishmael died. He was gathered to his people. He died relatively in his old age there. But if you notice there in verse 18, it says he died in the presence of all his brethren. It's good to come to the end of your life whenever you're at death's door and you have friends. You're not alone. You have people about you. You're going to have to live in such a way that when your time comes that you have people that are remembering you, that'll be there for you, be there for your family, that'll be there during that time of mourning for your family. And we see that here with Ishmael. And then we move into the two twin grandsons of Abraham from verses 19 through 34, the sons of Isaac and Rebekah. The husband and father, Isaac here, verses 20 and 21, he had waited 20 years. They got married when he was 40. Now he was 80. He waited 20 years. And there still was no children yet. Verse 20, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah's wife, the daughter of Bethuel. And then look at verse number 26. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare. And so he waited quite a long time for children. Again, patience is something that is learned, and he probably learned a good amount of patience from Abraham, his father. Abraham had waited quite some time for the promises of God to come to effect. Isaac probably remembered Abraham talking about Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, where God laid out the covenant. And then again, Abraham reminding Isaac as he grew up, he said, listen, he also reaffirmed that covenant in Genesis chapter 17, verse 19. But it still came to a point where it began to concern Isaac. In verse 21, you'll notice that Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was treated to him. Rebekah was his wife conceived. We as the husband, head of the homes, we need to be very careful that we take the matters at hand to the Lord, and we go to the Lord when we're looking for help. I think he learned this portion from the mistakes his father made. You remember we just got the reading about Ishmael. The problem with Ishmael came because Abraham got impatient. Abraham wanted a child. Sarah said, listen, here's a plan. Let's do it this way. And I think he learned from that. Listen, we can learn from mistakes of others. We that make the mistakes better not be so proud not to own them and to stand there, as an example and don't cover up the mistakes. Let those under and beyond and around us learn from our mistakes so that they don't have to make the same ones. And when you're learning life, heed the mistakes of others. I guarantee you this, dear friend. If you need a board that's 6 foot and 2 inches, and you cut it 6 foot, 1 inch, you go cut it again, it will not be 6 foot, 2 inch. It will be shorter. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over and over again. And too often and too much in our families, same pattern. Children, pattern after the father. The father after the grandfather. The grandfather after the great-grandfather. Mothers, children after mothers. Mothers after grandmothers. And so on and so forth. We do not have to do it. Learn from the mistakes that others make. Learn from the good things that they do. And don't be bold and brash thinking that you'll never make no mistakes and holding those mistakes over their head. That happens too often. Don't do that. Listen, we're all human. We live in a body of flesh. And sometimes we see things in a certain way and we act in a certain way. And when it's over and done with, we said, man, I made a foolish mistake right there. You can't come back as the one learning and say, well, you made the mistake, so I'm not going to learn from that. Or you're not good enough to teach me because you made mistakes. There's one sinless human that walked this earth, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I believe Isaac learned, and he learned patience, which is a good thing to learn. I think we can all do with a good dose of that, but we know the main way that comes is by what? Tribulation and trials. So sometimes we don't want to pray for them. So you can learn patience from others. You can see how they live and how they act, how they react to situations. You can learn from their mistakes. I'm glad that Abraham come to a point to realize that, hey, this wasn't a good plan. It didn't work out. And God blessed. This is amazing how God blessed and multiplied and kept his word even though Abraham did wrong. He did. He watched over him. And so he learned about prayer. Where did Abraham spend time at Bethel? He came back and Abraham did what at Bethel? He built an altar, called upon God. He learned those things from his father. We, older men of God, we need to be careful that we're teaching the younger men of God things, good things, godly things, things that are righteous, things that will stand the fiery trials of the judgment seat when we all stand before Christ, and we're not standing there with just empty hands and ashes, and we're standing there with some gold, silver, some things that are that have value. Oh, we need to learn these lessons. We need to follow through with prayer. We don't need to just talk about it. He knew what it was. He knew the answer. He knew, and he went to the Lord, and the Lord heard his prayer there in verse number 21. Then verse 22-23, now Rebekah's pregnant. She's with child. But now she can't understand what's going on within her. She said there in verse number 22, the children struggle together within her. She said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to where? To inquire of the Lord. I wonder where she learned that. She learned it because of her husband. And she went and said, well, he inquired. Father Abraham, grandfather Abraham inquired. My father-in-law inquired. So I need to know what's going on. Why is this so? God's allowed me to be blessed, and I'm a child, but I'm not understanding why God's dealing with me in such a manner. Why is this happening? And so she went to inquire at the Lord, and she prayed, verse 22, and God answered her and gave her an explanation. Said, what's going on is there's two sons, and each one is going to represent a nation. The elder Esau is going to serve the younger. That's kind of contrary to society back then. You remember, as Joseph is wanting to be blessed, and he's looking for the blessing from his father, he brings his two sons there, and his father took the younger son and blessed over the elder son, and Joseph took the hands and switched them around. So and his father said, no, this is how it's going to be. Because it wasn't normal. It wasn't normal. The elder was always had the firstborn blessing that was there. And so now God said, what's going to happen? The elder, Esau, is going to serve the younger. I told you quite a while back that in the book of Genesis, there's been many likenesses and types and pictures that we can draw from, and we can align some certain things in the Word of God. In verses 24 and 26, as we read, and when her days were to be delivered, were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb, just like God said, right? There were twins, and the first came out red, all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. Now Esau was the elder, and he was kind of a reddish looking thing, kind of like a reddish clad, you might say, there the elder. And if you think about it, being the elder, that's a picture of the natural man. The old natural man, the man of the earth, the man of flesh. We all have to be born of a woman, right? To be born again. So out came Jacob, the younger, and he represents the spiritual man, the man born of the Spirit. As he come out, he grabbed a hold. Now listen, the spirit and the flesh are contrary to one another, and they strive with one another like that. And the old man is to serve the new man. But too often we allow the old man to rule the new man. So these pictures and these likenesses here, you know, as we look at that, and the man of flesh is never to lord over the man of the Spirit. But we allow that to happen when we don't walk in the Spirit. And so there's that likeness there, and there's that picture there. You know, that you can draw from and you can look at and see what's going on. And the earthly man, the fleshly man, will always despise the spiritual. He didn't understand this birthright. This birthright was a spiritual blessing. If we don't walk in the Spirit, dear friend, we despise. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so many times when we don't walk in the Spirit, we reap, we walk in the flesh, we reap the, of the flesh, reap corruption. Different, we are despising our birthright as God's children. We're heir, a joint heir. When he's given us power to become the sons of God. That's why the old man is not to rule over the new man. Because we don't want to mock at God. I don't believe there's one here that wants to stick their nose up to God and say, God, I'm going to live like I want to live. But what happens is, we walk around in the flesh and we feed the flesh and we feast at the table of Satan. And then before we know it, we have no strength spiritually to speak of to stand for that which is right. Here he comes out of the field. Let me stop here just for a minute. Many of us are beyond this, and I hope you've never done this, but we have a problem here with a husband and wife that are showing favoritism toward children. The father loved Esau. Rebekah loved, not that he didn't love Jacob. Not that Rebekah didn't love Esau. But there was that favoritism. And we're going to see is it when it starts, dear friend, it leads to deceptiveness. It leads to a road of destruction. This it's going to cause great harm to this family that's going to take years to be mended. Take years to be fixed. And so be careful as parents. Be careful as grandparents that you don't love one and show favoritism more to the one. Well, the other one is bad. Well, train them to be good. Remember, apples don't fall too far from the apple tree. So, Grandpa, Grandma, if they're bad, maybe it's some fruits falling from you. But be careful that you don't show favoritism in such a way. Love them all as equal as you possibly can, and be careful about spending time with both or all as equal as much as you possibly can. So verse 29, Jacob sawed some pottage. He was a man of, here's a likeness. I think Abraham, he was a plain man and he was a tent dweller. I think Jacob kind of took after Abraham. I don't know, maybe that's from the stories that he was hearing. You know, maybe Rebekah talked a whole lot about Abraham. Maybe, or maybe Jacob... listen more intently to how Abraham was. I'm not sure, but Abraham was a little more Jacob was a little more like Abraham in a tent dwelling man as that there. He's there. He's sodden pottage. And Esau came from the field. He was a man of the field. He was tired. He was always out hunting and running through the woods and chasing down animals and deer, living the life of enjoyment and enjoying the great outdoors without the Creator in the center. We've got to be careful of that. Sometimes we enjoy the creation more than we do the Creator. We've got to keep things in perspective, dear friend. Enjoy the outdoors. But always keep mind of the Creator, and His place in your life. And so here he comes. He's coming from the hunt. He's tired. And the Bible says in verse 34, he despised his birthright. And the reason there's this despisement here is because he's not walking in the Spirit. He's not a spiritual man. This birthright was more than just getting the double portion of inheritance. This was about a national birthright. It's about a spiritual lineage that would bring forth the Messiah. And here the earthly man Esau was only concerned about the now and now. That's how we live, isn't it? Many times it's like what this flesh wants now, that's what it gets. We need to buffet the flesh a little bit. We need to say no to self. We need to say no to the flesh. We need to stand up to the flesh and say, no, I'm going to live by the Spirit that dwells in me. I am a child of God. I'm going to do right. And I'm going to allow God to get the glory in my life and not what my appetites push for. Can you imagine, now looking back, we have the Bible written, all that Esau gave up. All that Esau gave up. Well, it was kind of put in plan. No, God understood, his foreknowledge understood the type. Wasn't it God set it in order and this is what's going to happen? His foreknowledge understood the man that Esau would be. His foreknowledge understood the man that Jacob would be. And don't get me wrong, Jacob's fixing to make some foolish mistakes on down the road here. But God, in his foreknowledge, therefore he could prophesy to Rebekah and say, the younger shall rule over the elder, because he understood, what type of man it would be. And so Esau denies his birthright. He does not realize exactly what he has for a simple moment of fleshly gratification. Lentils? Pottage? I have no earthly idea what pottage is. Is that the thing that the three little bears? Or that was porridge? Porridge? What is porridge? Is that oatmeal? That's grits? Had to be somebody up north from Yankee land to make up that fairy tale. Because we sure would have said oatmeal or grits, porridge. How can you give up your birthright for lentils? You know those little green little beans? I don't even know if you can call them a bean. I mean, I like them. Seven bean soup's great. But I can't imagine being so hungry that I give up my spiritual birthright just for just a moment of gratification. I mean, just how long could it keep you full? 4 or 5 hours? And you give up it all. He doesn't understand right now. But the Bible says about Esau that he sought for repentance and couldn't find any. Couldn't find it. Can you imagine you getting so far fleshly that you couldn't find repentance when God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance? I think there's a difference in being sorry for the situation and being sorrowful and broken for the situation. Sorry we got caught, sorry I did this, but I'm not sorry in a repentant way. He denies his birthright, disposes of it. That's what the natural things of this world does to us. Listen, children of God. Listen, children of God. That's exactly what we do when we live in the flesh. We exchange simple little gratifications for eternal rewards. Listen, sin's pleasurable for a season. It's desired. This flesh desires it for a season. But when it's finished with you, it brings forth death, destruction, bitterness, despisement. It brings you to a point where you're so angry and bitter and mad that you cannot find repentance from a God that's full of love. Wow. Jacob and Esau. Verse 34, and Jacob gave Esau bread, pottage, and lentils. He did eat and drink, rose up, went his way. Thus, Esau despised his birthright. Pastor, is it that quick? This was a slow thing. This is a hunter. This is an outdoorsman who, if he would have just gathered up his quiver and his bow and his went back out there, he'd have probably had the biggest venison steak he could have enjoyed. But he wanted it now. Give it to me now. Wow. Be careful. Be careful, because the things we want now may seem appetizing. Y'all know what the old joke is? Beans, beans. Yeah. If y'all don't know that one, ask some of these giggling. They will help you. Sin, sin. The more you partake, the more stinky you'll become. Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. We pray you bless, Lord. Help us to love you, to be careful this week, to be cautious, to be kind, gentle, patient in the midst of all this hysteria. Thank you, Lord, for the sun coming up in the morning. Lord, if you take us while we sleep, what a blessing that would be. But if we rise up tomorrow, you give us breath in our lungs and strength in our body, may we serve you with all of our heart. In Jesus' name, amen.